Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to talk about the teaching of Jesus from Matthew chapter 10. There's a reading this past Sunday, a section from chapter 10 that the church gave us, and there's a whole set of teachings from Jesus these days that he's commissioning the apostles. He's telling them what he's called them to do, and he's helping them see exactly what they're getting into. They'll see it. I mean, here he's describing it, but they'll see it more completely when Jesus is crucified. Jesus is saying, I'm sending you into spiritual conflict, spiritual battle. And I don't want you to be surprised, because in many, many places you won't be welcomed. My word will not be welcomed. It will be welcomed by a choice few in different places, but you will receive great resistance in many places. And I want you to understand it's not personal. What does that mean? He didn't use that word, but I'm using that word because I think one of the things that we've been talking about this week, is the fear of the Lord, a healthy fear of the Lord, and what that can do for us, how great a gift that, spiritual gift that is, versus the fear of men, wanting to be liked by men, wanting to be affirmed by men, giving our life, our power over to, you know, to so many people, because we believe that if these key people, these important people, these powerful people, if I'm not in good standing with them, if they reject me, the cost is going to be too high. I'll be left outside the inner ring. I'll be looked down on by people. Maybe it'll affect my livelihood. I'll be shamed by people like that publicly, maybe. And man, that's never going to happen in my life, you know. So the heart gets revealed, right? And Jesus is telling the apostles, the temptation will be to fear men. And when you fear men, you'll know instinctively almost what they don't want you to say and what they don't want you to do. And so those things that you feel and that you think they don't want you to do, you won't do. You'll conform to their will. You'll be living in the mind of others. And it's disorienting. It fills you with anxiety, fills you with fear. What are they thinking? What are they going to think of me? What's the cost this is going to, you know, what's going to happen to me? All that I built or who I am or the image that I'm projecting out into the world, will they reject it? So that's there. Instead of living in the mind of Christ with a renewed mind, we actually live in the mind of other people, trying to anticipate what they're going to like and what they're not going to like. And the big concern is not the fear of standing outside God's will or being rejected by God. It's standing outside the will of people, powerful, influential, beautiful people, and the fear of being rejected by them. This is part of what it means to have a darkened mind and why Paul exhorts us to live with a renewed mind, with a fresh spiritual way of thinking. Because to live in the minds of others is to make them Lord. It's to invest something in them that isn't right. So they become like idols. Like we make them ultimate, and their opinion becomes ultimate in this world. And hey, they're going to be dead soon. They're just creatures. They're just like you. It's foolish to do it. But the devil works in people who want to be at the top and want to exercise power and control, and they look like they hold for us the answer for our happiness. And so we got to line up with them, or we want to be powerful like them, or we want to be super popular like them. And so we don't want to fall out in any way from their approval, right? So that's the struggle. Again, that's living in the minds of men, and that's fearing a creature who the worst that person can do to you is, you know, disrupt your life and maybe kill you. But in God, in Christ, that doesn't matter. I mean, the worst thing they can do to you is possibly the best thing that could have ever happened to you. You could be a martyr for Jesus. You could die Jesus's friend and be crowned in eternity, and your love for him would be rewarded by God the Father, and who you are, that would define who you are, and who you are would echo into eternity, will last forever. If you go down in the fear of men, you're going to go. If I go down in the fear of men, I'm going to go to hell. That's what's going to happen, because I bent my knee to the world. And I refused to live with a fresh new spiritual way of thinking, with a new heart, to accept the power Jesus has given me and to take up what he's teaching here, because he's so serious about it. Let's dig in a little bit further today. In chapter 10, let's go to verse 29. After Jesus said, "Don't be afraid of the one who can kill the body, but can't kill your soul for eternity." So what you need to do is have a healthy fear of the devil, in the sense of don't mess around with his temptations, because if you let him enslave you, he'll lead you to hell, right? And of course it means fear God. Fear God, who gives life and takes it away, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who will expose every human heart to the light of his gaze before it's all over on the judgment day, and what we decided, who we feared, is going to be revealed. And remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It helps anchor us to reality, and it helps prevent us from being stupid, from being foolish, from acting like slaves instead of children of God. He says, then he wants to encourage him. In verse 29, he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than a whole flock of sparrows." It's interesting how often, you know, some key times in Jesus' teaching, he says, you know, consider the birds of the air. You know, Matthew 6, where he's saying, don't be anxious about tomorrow. He said, instead, consider the birds of the air. They don't toil, they don't strain, you know, they don't worry. God created them and they're fulfilling their purpose. God created you. Fulfill your purpose. That's what you have to do. That's all you need to do. And God will take care of you. Don't worry about physical death. It's just the result of living in a fallen world. It's sin that leads to death. It's there. It's inescapable. Don't worry about it. Jesus has destroyed its power over everyone who believes in him, everyone who's baptized into him. He's saying, I got you. Don't worry about it. Any kind of pain in this world is going to be temporary, right? Like Teresa of Avila, I think it was, who said, after we die, we're going to see that all our troubles and all our trials and all our difficulties were the equivalent of, you know, in light of eternity, are the equivalent of one night in a bad hotel. Now, it doesn't always feel that way, but the Lord allows us to experience those things so we learn to trust in him. And we get tested. It's important to see that. So Jesus goes on. That's meant to be encouraging. You have a loving Father. That's why you don't have to fear. Verse 32, he says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But he who denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." Here's something that we really need to internalize, because we're coming into a time in the culture where to acknowledge Jesus' teaching publicly, to acknowledge the things that Jesus requires of us in how we're meant to live out our lives, the moral teaching of Jesus, that beginning with giving our entire heart, soul, mind, and strength to God and honoring his name and the Lord's day and not committing adultery, not stealing, not lying, not fornicating, you know, guarding the truth about marriage, living in according to God's order. The world is really hostile to that now. That's the fallen dimension. So we're all going to be tempted to find some other cause. We're going to be tempted to take up a cause that the world is cool with and to avoid the things the world doesn't like. That's a way of not acknowledging Jesus before men. We have to come to terms with that. To acknowledge Jesus is not only to say his name, which is important, but to live his teaching is a way of acknowledging him. And wherever we have responsibility, wherever we have genuine opportunity to both teach and defend that truth without compromise, that's what Jesus is talking about here. And if he's saying, look, if you're embarrassed about me and what I'm teaching, and you're ashamed to stand up for me, and the fact that people could possibly reject and hurt you is you're like, no, I'm not going to say anything. That is failing to acknowledge Christ and to follow in the footsteps of the apostles. And he said, if that's the choice you're going to make, I'm not going to acknowledge you as mine before the Father in heaven. Because you chose not to be mine. You chose not to identify with me. And you chose not to identify with me because you were afraid of being rejected by people. And that was self-concern. Your inordinate self-love, your cowardice, your these kinds of things. And I'm talking about me, friends, because I have to live through this too. All of us have to come to terms with this and understand there's a power given to us, even in our weakness. His power is made perfect in weakness. So Jesus is saying, what are you deciding? What is it that you want? What is it that you want? Do you want to live this way? Do you want to stand up for me? Because I'm going to be there if you do. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to take care of you. You might experience loss in this world, but you're not going to lose anything that really matters. Because none of this stuff you can take with you anyway, and you could be dead tomorrow. You know? So Jesus wants us to live with that perspective and to make sure that we understand the cost of denying him. Verse 34, then, now he goes to talk about taking up our cross. He said, do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but to bring a sword. Jesus has come to bring the kingdom of God into a world that's hostile to the kingdom that doesn't want it. The only future for the human race that has life and peace is the kingdom of Christ. That's it. He's going to finally break the hostility when he returns again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And so Jesus is saying, I've come to bring the kingdom. His main goal isn't to bring peace and say, look, I'm going to try to come up with an idea where everybody can be happy about whatever. I'm really concerned. I'm going to find out what everybody wants and make them happy. No, what he's saying is the only, what I've come for under the obedience of the command of my Father, I've come to establish my rule and my reign and my kingship. And I'm going to give my life to whoever wants it. And so that is going to be a threat to the world. And everybody's not going to be peaceful and happy about it. There's going to be great resistance, just like Jesus showed us on Calvary. It's going to happen. It's happened throughout history, and it's going to keep happening. He said, I've not come to bring peace, but to bring a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. This is so sobering. So sobering. It's happening right now. Because in the country, you know, a new set of values and definitions about the meaning of marriage, the meaning of human sexuality, all these fundamental things that the Lord himself designed, and living in accord with his design is the only way to be spiritually healthy and the only way to please him. Now, all kinds of people are conforming to the world's demand because they're afraid of losing a child. Now, that's totally, totally understandable. Every child, I have children, I have grandchildren, every child has freedom to decide what way of life they're going to live. We will love our children to the end, no matter what they decide. But love will take us down a particular path. But it must be a love that has God first and the fear of the Lord, so that you can have wisdom about how to relate to the choices our children are making. We have to live first off with the question, how can I please the Lord? And sometimes even our children, friends, can become an idol. They can be something that is more ultimate in our lives than God himself. And that leads us to great foolishness and in opposition to God and to God's will. That's something I'd like to take up a little bit more tomorrow, friends, but it's a really important thing. We can't have anything before the love of God. It'll lead to destruction in our own lives. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.